Dave in the City is on YouTube, Stitcher, and iTunes. Search for Did Cow and subscribe today.
Coast to Coast, Internet Sports Talk, Box of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
How Connecticut are you? Are you wearing khakis and a polo?
Regarding Lynch, who cares? What was he going to do today? Was he going to address his supporter? Oh, thank you for the question!
Cap ran through the entire Yankee lineup, but he left out one guy. And his name is Alex Rodriguez.
I like to try and forget about him because...
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Always a pleasure to do this program with you. Really quite strange circumstances beginning our program tonight, but that's personal stuff. I'm not going to get into it. We will try to produce a program for you tonight. Unfortunately, Canadian Karen could not join us for reasons that we are really not at liberty to discuss at this time, but just a scheduling conflict, basically. That's really all it amounts to. So things didn't work out. We're going to try to soldier on anyway, get a show going. As we do that, I want to do a test of my phone system. So unfortunately, we have to do this on the air because this is the only way we can do it. So I put my phone, I'm calling my own show. Now I'm going to test what it sounds like and see if I can get myself on the air. So Dave in Santa Monica, welcome in the city. How's it going? Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello. It's really been unbelievable
how the Lakers
continue to be taken down by free agents.
It is such a joke.
How they can go in and get all this money, charge all this money for the ticket.
And it is an absolute disgrace that they can't even get
LaMarcus Aldridge to come to the team.
Are you kidding me? I mean, what the heck is going on with this Laker franchise? It used to be the creme de la creme, and now you can't even get some guy from the Blazers to come on the team, the number two guy on the team. What the heck is going on?
Now, Dave, calm down. Don't worry. First of all, it's not a lost cause. It was obvious to me that the Lakers were going after... it's obvious to me that the LaMarcus Aldridge seemed to be a bit of a head case anyway. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I wouldn't even sweat it. They still got some good bench depth. They still ended up getting... I'm a big echo. They got Roy Hibbert, which I'm not a huge fan of. I understand that. But first of all, they drafted D'Angelo Russell. They got Hibbert, which I'm not a big fan of, but the two guys they got after that were nice bench players. Lou Williams, guy from the Toronto Raptors, a huge bonus, Dave. I mean, this guy was a sixth man of the year in Toronto. This guy really knows how to play. And they also got Brandon Bass, who's a max effort guy. I know he was a third stringer on the Celtics, but I've seen him play, and the guy can take a hit. That's huge. You don't want to be soft in the paint. This guy can play. He can get 10 points a game. I think he'll be a good fit on the Lakers. It's not the worst thing in the world. I know what you're saying, but you know the Lakers could be an interesting team this year. I know. Everybody's talking about how it's going to be Kobe last year. It's just getting old. You have to get the guys that will make
a difference. And who's going to make a difference right now? Wes Johnson is not, he's not even on the team. Swaggy D is probably going to get traded. I mean, what the heck? Dave, take your rose-colored glasses up.
Dave, calm down. It is not a problem. Don't worry about it.
Dave, I know that you've been hosting the show forever, but you have to be real here. This Laker team is not the Laker team we grew up with.
I know it's not the team we grew up with, but... But you have to start from the bottom to work your way up.
All right.
I'm serious. Like, you got two good drafts in a row. The Lakers, yes, it was a disappointing off season, but they will be. They will be back. They got to get that guy. Kobe's not going to play on the team forever. I realize that people don't want to play with Kobe.
Are you kidding?
They are being turned away like the plague. I hear you on that. I hear you on that with Kobe being turned away, but it's all going to ride out. I still think this is the Los Angeles Lakers. 16 championships. They got this. All right. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Okay. That's it from Dave in Santa Monica. And, well, carry on the show. By the way, before we get anything else tonight, congratulations to Team USA Women's World Cup Soccer for winning the Women's World Cup. And boy, if they were going to get revenge on Japan, this was the way to do it. 4 goals early, including one from midfield by Carly Lloyd, who scored 3 goals on the night. You don't usually see 3 goals in a soccer game by any single player. So this was truly a special night for her and for Team USA. Just what a great way to win this thing. The Japanese got a goal late in the first half, and then they got another goal in the second half. But it was not enough, and it wasn't even close when you really think about it. And the Americans win it 5-2 in really one of the biggest routs you will ever see in soccer. Just a thrill, because I remember how heartbreaking last year's World Cup final was for the U.S. And this time around, it's really worked out a lot better. So, congrats, Team USA! Really, just big time to get that W. And especially to do it in revenge fashion against Japan. I mean, that you couldn't have asked for that to play out any better. I mean, they got the exact team that they lost to in last year's final. They got them again in this year's final. And this time, they didn't just win, they dominated. So, I mean, really, they owned possession. They lost the possession late in the first, but it was natural to happen. You would think that you'd run out of steam after being so dominant in that first half. Second half starts, and they give up another goal, and it gets cut to a 2-goal game. But right after that, the U.S. scores again. It was right after that. And so that took them up 5-2, and they held on to that the rest of the time. So that was pretty cool. Team USA now with 3 World Cup championships, the first since 1999, in a very memorable shootout match against China, I believe, and a big moment. And you finally got Abby Wambach with a title, and Alex Morgan gets a title, and Megan Rapinoe gets a title. That is pretty cool. So you see some of these old ladies, I mean, not old, but some of the older veterans on the team getting what they worked so hard for their whole lives. I think that's really great. So congrats, Team USA, on the World Cup championship. That's pretty neat. All right, so a lot of other things to talk about in this hour tonight. Just a 1-hour show. As I mentioned, Canadian Karen was going to be our guest. She is not our guest. She's not here. We don't have anybody rolling, but we do have... Oh, look at this. I have this piece about the World Cup. There is a quote, by the way, from the World Cup that I thought was really great. It really, really sets the scene and hits it home. Let me give it to you. From... Carly Lloyd, who scored the 3 goals. This is great.
because she said, I know in 1999 it was a huge turning point for women's soccer, but I think we have just crushed history right now. With the amount of coverage, with social media, with everything else that's been going on, I think there was no greater time to win a World Cup than now. It's an unbelievable moment. Something that's going to last for years. I believe that too. I mean, it was a big deal. I wasn't following much of the tournament, full disclosure, but it was getting great coverage, and Fox was on top of it. I don't know. I mean, I don't really like the announcers that they use for the coverage, but they did get good coverage, and they put all the games on, and you got to watch it on Fox Sports Go. So they did a decent job with the Women's World Cup overall, based on what I saw. I saw some matches, but I didn't watch the whole tournament as I might have for the regular Men's World Cup. And so if this is any indication of what the World Cup coverage will be in a couple years for the men's side, then we might be okay. It's still not great, but it's not as bad as we feared. That's a key. So as we continue our program tonight, it's just a lot to talk about. And you know, in a podcast, you don't want to take a commercial break. So I invite you then to break up the monotony and give us a call, 424-258-9251. It's just been a maddening offseason for the NBA. And we mentioned already earlier in the show that the Lakers missed out on DeAndre Jordan and LaMarcus Aldridge. But Jordan, as of now, doesn't have an official designated team. He presumably was signed to the Dallas Mavericks over the weekend, but today we're getting word that he's reneging on it. DeAndre Jordan was getting cold feet about the contract with the Dallas Mavericks, and somehow the Clippers had found a way to put doubt into his mind. Now he's meeting again with the Clippers, and they're going to try to work out a deal. And that's just crazy. Like, when you say, I'm going to sign with a team, and you change your mind, and then you try to go back to the old team, that just seems weird. That seems weird. And apparently, and this comes from the Oatman, because he tweeted this to me. I missed the report itself, but he mentioned to me that DeAndre Jordan's agent was the one really driving the horse to the Dallas Mavericks contract. Basically, he was saying that it wasn't something he had his heart in doing. That's funny to think, because I think that they're both pretty good opportunities, but he didn't make any real comments to the effect that he really was going to miss everybody, but apparently he just got really emotional about it, thought about missing his buddies, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, and suddenly he could be going back. I just think it's bananas to agree to terms with a team and have them print up some press about it and set up a press conference, all that stuff, only to change your mind at the very end to go try to go back to the old team because you started having second thoughts. It's absolutely bonkers. I can't even imagine how the Mavericks are feeling right now. They must be just so angry at DeAndre Jordan and his agent. I'm like, what the hell? It's like, are you going to sign with us or not? That's basically their thought process right now. And it's just, how do you know? It's really tough to really tell. Amazing. Really is. Now, I'm going to take a quick break here on the program. And I want you, and if you do want to give us a call tonight, we're at 424-258-9251. And we hope to hear from you tonight. If you don't, then we'll do what we can to finish off this show. But as we do that, I'm going to give you a clip from last summer's Modcast. We had Umer in Rockland. We had Jared in, where is he now? Jared in Stamford. And then we had our friend Timmy Russo, who goes by the name of Bill in real life. And am I missing anybody? I think we had Yachts. Might have been on there, but it's quite a meeting. A lot of the forefathers of the MikeFrancesa.com joined us on this program last year to talk about the growth of the Mike Francesa fan base and the legacy up to that point, of Mongo Nation.
It's funny how the population of the Francesa Khan guy, this is all stuff we were doing, you know, years ago, and nobody was paying attention to it. And I don't say that to mean, oh, we were doing it, and we copyrighted. It's just stuff that we found funny, and we were doing years ago, and nobody seemed to care. And then it just became a thing. And part of it's Twitter, and part of it's WFAN Audio creating the whole, you know, monster, so to speak, whatever you want to say. But, I never, Francesa Khan was, like, unbelievable. I cannot believe stupid Mike brought this big popular thing, you know. But I look back at, you know, the things on Twitter, and people using the word Mongo and, and like all things that, like, Cap invented, all these things that we were doing years ago. I just find funny that other people are picking up on it now, but... I never was like, oh, we did that. Don't you dare do that. Like, him and the fake Mad Dog guy, I think I've watched those videos 1,000 times. I mean, they're hilarious, but, you know.
You really, really hit that home. I mean, it's funny that maybe the board, the MikeFrancisa.com, was just ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will, yeah. Founding fathers, if you will, yeah.
Who would have guessed?
And it's amazing now that with Twitter, the reach that this, you know, Mike following has. Because, I mean, let's be honest. We listen to this guy sit at a desk picking his teeth every day and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike. We love Mike. All that back and forth. But it's amazing, like, people like Scott Van Pelt, who has his own show, but yet is a loyal Mongo.
That's crazy. I did not expect that.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Neither did I.
Modcast from last year, Umar in Rockland, Jared in Stanford. I think that Bill is in there. Bill from New Jersey. And... is that everybody? I thought there was another guy in there I may have missed, but that was quite a meeting. Scott Van Pelt doesn't have his own show anymore. The SVP and Rosillo show ended production about a week ago, so his show is no more. But he is now on SportsCenter, so he does have a show, but it's not a radio show. The show in question that they have now is just Rosillo's show at the moment. So that actually came to me from Coach. He mentioned that. Happy trails. It was like, you know, I actually enjoyed that SVP and Rosillo show okay, but it wasn't enough juice for me to listen to it regularly. And it was on at the same time as Mike Francesa's show, so I picked Mike Francesa instead of Rosillo and SVP. But it was a good show, though. I really thought that. I thought that they always brought good topics to the table. They were always talking basketball and college football and NFL, and I said, this is good stuff. Like, they talk the stuff that other ESPN shows don't care about, but they actually get into the sports. I thought that was key. I thought that was really well done. So, I'm a fan of that. I do think that it was inevitable this was going to change, because I think Scott Van Pelt, just in general, is just a really big part of ESPN. And you heard the news just today that ESPN and Keith Olbermann are parting ways. Bill Simmons already left the network. He's basically going to not participate in the company anymore once his contract runs out. He's already not involved with ESPN nor Grantland, which is nutty to me. I really think that he is Grantland, Bill Simmons. And to be that big a part of your baby and be detached from your baby, it's just the same feeling, I must imagine, but obviously on a much smaller scale, because this is not actually someone's child. It's just a thing. But it's an idea that's a similar concept, but on a smaller scale, of when a parent loses his child, gets taken away by social services or something for whatever reason. And that's Bill Simmons and Grantland. Like, he created Grantland. That's his deal. Page 2 wasn't his deal. That's where he came, rose to fame, but Grantland was his. That was his deal. His staff. He hired everybody. He ran it. I'm told that he ran the 30 for 30s. He did. He was just starting a second podcast called Bill Don't Lie, like that was strictly NBA, which seems redundant because like his regular shows are always talking NBA, but an NBA focus show, just getting that off the ground when he and ESPN could not agree to keep it going. So I'm getting more information on this. I'm told, and again, this is Coach speaking. How does Coach know all this? And I don't, well, he's smarter. I don't know. No, seriously, but I somehow don't get the ESPN news on Twitter as much. I get all the other teams' news. It's probably better that that it ends up that way because I don't want to get too much ESPN on my Twitter. And if you're looking for my Twitter, it's at DitCal. You can follow me there for show updates and links and all the good things. Or you can follow my personal account at Dining with Dave, which is me, which is just my me without outside of the show. But the show itself is at DitCal. Anyway, talking about ESPN, we were told that they were trying to cut, expenses across the board. So suddenly these transactions make sense, but cheapening ESPN, which is already a big deal, is in my view really taking down the integrity of the network. But I don't think they care because they've got the big NFL contract, they've got Wimbledon, they've got I think they have coverage of the Masters still. They have baseball. They have baseball playoff games. They have an NFL playoff game. They do the spelling bee. They do the hot dog eating contest. And you think, ah, that's funny, Dave. That's so silly. No, but these count. I mean, these are big events. Like the spelling bee, there's only one of them. And the hot dog eating contest, if you want the recap of that, actually listen to our sister show, Dining with Dave. Ha, 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 ha. A cross promo. But no, but seriously, we'll listen to it because it's a good show. And I gave a little rundown of the upset win of Matt Stoney over Joey Chestnut after 8 years at the top. I said nine, but he was going for nine. And, you know, people, I don't think people really expected it, but you could see it coming because Stoney was getting close to Chestnut last year. And this year he did not let go. He had that buffer of a two hot dog lead the entire way last week during the 4th of July. Over, and actually that was Saturday to be specific. So big upset win there, and ESPN's a part of that. They've been doing that for years. But now the fact remains, are they making a mistake cheapening their network? Because if they're going to all the young guys, because there are a lot of young guys now that run SportsCenter, that do other shows, that do the end game, they could do the pregame, they do between game, the coming out of the commercial spots during a football game or a baseball game. Are they going to hurt down the road because of the cheapening of their brand? I don't know. But, you know, let me put it to you this way. If they really want to cut costs, cut out the NFL. The NFL is sucking all your money. If you want to cut costs, maybe it's because they bring money too, but if you want to cut costs, maybe dump the NFL, because it's forcing ESPN to put all these dumb, useless NFL shows, because the NFL mandates some set number, I'm going to look this up too, some set number of NFL hours to broadcast. I'm like, I mean, if I were ESPN, I'd be like, get bent. You have your own network now. Put them on your stupid channel instead of football follies every 10 hours. Instead of the same game from like 3 weeks ago on replay every other day. Put your own programming on. You got a channel. Put it on that stupid channel. We do like NFL Countdown and NFL Edge matchup. But, you know, the rest of the stuff, who cares? Like NFL Con, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to look up. I got to see where this says this. Because I heard this, that NFL ESPN content. I got to read this because this is, I need, they want to, I know this for a fact, that the NFL mandates a specific number of hours to be used. On ESPN and its family of networks. And there are many, many networks. So I'm looking for it. I want to find this, but
I know their broadcast contract is in here. All right, let's look this up. Now, this deal was signed. I don't know if this is it, but it might be because this says the contract extension with the ESPN NFL coverage for $15 billion signed September 8th, 2011. And it says it would go through 2021. So we're, I don't know, about a third of the way through that right now. Okay. So let me just run down all the programs that they put on here. Okay. ESPN is broadcasting, in addition to their Monday Night Football and their one playoff game in the wild card round. But yeah, here it is. ESPN will expand its use of video highlights and 500 hours of league-branded studio shows. 500 hours. I don't know. Is that for the whole season? That's for the whole season. That's not that bad, but that is crazy. But here's one. Okay, so let's go run down these shows. NFL Countdown. So that's the one that starts before all the regular NFL coverage. Everybody watches. You know, people, if they don't like Terry Bradshaw or whatever, they'll put on ESPN Countdown at the beginning of the morning. And they start that early. Like, that starts at 10 a.m., which is 7 a.m. our time. So they're on the air for literally 3 hours before a game starts. Then they've got NFL Live, which we've already talked about. I mean, that's the show that I think that's their highlight show. I don't know what NFL Live is, but I think they just, like, talk about headlines. And so that's two shows. We have two shows in the counter, two shows. Then we have, I really want to get this down. $500 Oh, that's just unbelievable. Like, one out of every 2 hours you watch on ESPN is going to be NFL, pretty much. Like, so imagine the thing that, count how many things on ESPN don't involve the NFL in some way. Like, what shows? World Series of Poker, Spelling Bee, Hot Dog Eating Contest. I'm not even counting the Major League Baseball in there because that I think they have tie-ins, they have teases for their NFL programs, and they talk about SportsCenter coming up, which has usually some NFL headline in there. The programs that don't have any connection to NFL at all. And it's like, that's like those two, and you, let's see, maybe drag racing. That's about it. Like, so, you know, there are a lot of ESPN NFL shows. I'm running them down. I want to know. Because it's just so dumb. There's so many stupid shows. Like, I don't care about any of them. Like, I care about, like, three of them. Okay. Let's first run down the new ones. The ones that were signed. Oh, this is so ridiculous. Okay. All right, so we have, okay, let's just start from the beginning before we get into any of this. The first show we mentioned, Sunday NFL Countdown. So we have the countdown. You've got NFL Insiders, NFL Live, NFL Primetime, Monday Night Countdown, because you've got to have another one for the Monday Night Football game, and more. So what others do you have? Let's see. How many did it count there right now? One, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 right there. And, okay. And I don't think they actually told us what the thing is yet. Let me see. So, let's look this down. List of programs broadcast by ESPN. And just so you know, every single one of them has the word NFL in the title. So, make no mistake, there will be, the NFL lets you know it's an NFL show because they have to. Like, you know how, like, in the ESPN baseball show is called Baseball Tonight. It's not called MLB Tonight because MLB Network now does that. But they did Baseball Tonight before MLB Tonight. So that show is called Baseball Tonight. It's not called MLB Tonight or Major League Baseball Tonight. It's just called Baseball Tonight. NBA show is called, I think it's called NBA Tonight. But anyway, let's go on. Let's go on. Let's move on here. We're going to run these all down because I really, really want to get the full picture of how many superfluous NBA NFL shows they've got here. All right. So
So we mentioned the Sunday countdown. You know, we mentioned Monday Night Countdown. That's one. NFL Insider. That's two. NFL Live. That's three. NFL Matchup? So this team's going to play this team. And that's a show. All right, that's four. Is that four? Let's see. One, two, three, four. Okay. I think that's... Let's go through it again. Monday Night Countdown, one. NFL Insiders, two. Live is three. Matchup is four. Prime Time is five. Then you have Sunday NFL Countdown, which we talked about. That's six. We continue. So then you've got... that's not it. I think you have Madden Nation would sort of count, so that would be seven. And then you've got the NFL games themselves. That's eight. So... That can't be it. I counted seven? I counted seven shows that ESPN does for NFL. I'm not buying it. There's got to be more. Okay. These are broadcasts on ESPN, ESPN2, or ESPN on ABC. But then you got to figure out what's that. Well, no, I guess that's it. Because the ESPN Classic wouldn't do anything. ESPN News, strictly college, so those would not qualify. Well, seven shows, but then they repeat them like over and over and over. There's like so many shows. And then they mentioned 500 hours of ESPN coverage. It's a scene. So, speaking of the NFL, well, I've got a news update for you. Jason Pierre-Paul, over the weekend, had a very wild 4th of July. He had his right index finger amputated today. After a 4th of July fireworks injury, and it's not an accident, this is just being a dumbass, but he said, well, let's read this through. The Giants defensive end reportedly had his finger amputated after being injured on Saturday. ESPN's Adam Schefter, who shared a photo of the 26-year-old's medical chart, also cited a medical source who is expecting Pierre-Paul to play this season, sooner than people think. And the estimates so far are 2 months. This is the latest in a bizarre situation, so says... I think this came from the Daily News, the New York Daily News. This is the latest twist in a bizarre situation. Giants officials, including Vice President of Medical Services Ronnie Barnes, departed Miami without ever getting a chance to see Pierre-Paul, according to a source. The officials arrived in Miami on Monday, hoping to visit JPP, who's at Jackson Memorial Hospital. It is believed Pierre-Paul underwent surgery after suffering serious burns to three fingers and part of one hand. Former Giants linebacker Jesse Armstead, who currently is a special assistant for the team, also traveled to Miami, according to multiple reports. Pro Football Talk reported Wednesday that Pierre-Paul declined to see Barnes and Armstead and that they couldn't contact Pierre-Paul or find out if he'd seen them before or if he'd see them before traveling to Miami. Since Pierre-Paul is not under contract, and I'll give you more on that in a minute, the Giants would not be able to place him on the non-football injury list for what is clearly an injury that occurred off the field. That's important because if Pierre-Paul remained on the NFI list once the regular season began, he would not be eligible to return until after week six, at which point the team would have 3 weeks to either activate him or place him on injured reserve. This is from the Daily News. Or is it SNY TV at this point? I'm trying to read this. Anyway, onward. By not signing the tender, Pierre-Paul has the power to dictate his return. He can't be paid without a contract, but he also wouldn't be paid for so long as he's on the NFI list. So he could opt to not sign the tender until he believes he's ready to play. This is, in fact, the Daily News. A spokeswoman at the hospital told the Daily News on Tuesday that the family has asked for privacy at this time, and that stance is apparently so strong that Pierre-Paul, who has yet to sign his one-year $14.8 million franchise tender, wouldn't even allow members of the Giants organization to see him. There you go. So he's got the $14.8 million contract. He was in line to get a $60 million contract from the Giants, and then this stupid accident happened. So they put that on hold. And he's stuck with 1 year, which is good money for a defensive end. 14.1 for 1 year. Pretty good. But could have been bigger. And to speak more about the $60 million contract that wasn't, let's go to NFL.com. Kevin Patra has the story. The New York Giants are withdrawing their $60 million long-term contract to Jason Pierre-Paul following the star pass rusher's fireworks incident over the weekend. NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported Monday, per three sources informed of the situation. JPP suffered a hand injury Saturday night while attempting to light fireworks. He required hospitalization and will remain in a Miami area hospital for the next few days. Rappaport reported that as of Sunday night, doctors were still examining for nerve damage and other issues related to the incident. There you go. I thought that was interesting that he was stationed in Miami. I think that's an interesting footnote to that. It brings up a show I've been following called Ballers, starring Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock. That's a fun concept for me. Show's been a little bit slow to start, but I do like it, though. I think it's got some potential, and they could use stories like this as a plot line for future episodes of Ballers. So, like, one of the guys on the show could try to light a firework on 4th of July, and that could be hilarity ensues, you know, something like that. It could be a lot of mania there with that show. Well, I'm happy to report we've gone through 40 minutes of the program tonight, so we'll take another break. As we do, I'm going to play another record. Let me go get you another classic clip from our show archives. Let's see what I can get and dig up for our next break. I do always find this funny. I made a mashup of Mike Francesa and Chris Russo doing their shows at the same time. And how the way I did that was I went on the internet and I got... This is a long time ago. This is like 2009 when these guys were still... This is like the very beginning of their solo shows. And so I got the WFAN stream and I got the SiriusXM stream. And I put them on simultaneously. I clicked it. I tried to click it at exactly the same moment so that you were listening to essentially them doing their shows. And I just basically put both of them on at the same time and recorded that on the computer. So here's what it sounds like when Mike and Chris, Mad Dog, Mike and the Mad Dog, doing their solo shows are put together in the same audio clip simultaneously. Listen to this.
Don't want to make money.
So there were years where every team had a guy on the team hit 30 home runs.
Listen,
and the Yankees didn't have anybody hit 30 home runs, and the Yankees won the World Series. And every other team had a guy hit 30 home runs. I mean, stuff like that, which was bizarre.
You're going to like the book. It's a good baseball
book. It didn't matter. It wasn't about numbers. And Joe didn't want Slugers. He definitely didn't. He also wanted Damon instead of Rondell White the first time.
I could say with Buzz Bittinger with the baseball book, he did on La Russa. But for the most part, very few times does that go hand in hand.
He wanted Sheffield short term. Cashman again, wanted Guerrero,
the idea that
and George wanted
wait
Sheffield, and he wanted Sheffield short term. He said, "If it's a long term, I want Guerrero. Short term, I want Sheffield."
That is absurd.
And Cashman didn't want Bernie back on the team, and Joe did.
Doubleday doesn't want a book.
Which
Doubleday
really
wouldn't even want
from
the
us
book
because
then.
He hid it from me because I was like, you know, really adamant about it.
Good stuff. That was Mike Francesa and Chris Russo simultaneously, but through the magic of computers, doing their respective solo shows at the same time, circa 2009. I put that together quite a while ago, and that was fun to listen to again. Well, the two of them still going strong with their respective individual shows. A few things may have changed along the way, but there they are. And Mike has certainly grown in popularity since that time. It's just getting bigger and bigger for him. So we're back at it here in the city. I'm Dave Medina. Overall, an interesting program, but sadly, a lonely one tonight. I don't have anyone to really chat with. If you want to chat with us, 424-258-9251. And a bit of a throwback episode, isn't it? We were just talking about stories and reading off pages. Really brings me back to the old days when I didn't have that many guests. I didn't have regular spots. I didn't have a random questions. It was definitely a bygone era, but I definitely am not one to want to go back to that. So I'm happy to try it for one night, but this is not the future for me. So we're glad that you're with us, though. www.ditcow.com is our website address. And I want to encourage you guys to go to our Amazon link at www.ditcow.com. And then also check out our t-shirt shop, which has some of the themes of our show, the show logo, some of the catchphrases from the program. It's really a lot of fun. So www.ditcow.com. Check the links on the side, especially the Amazon link, because you can have the same Amazon experience, yet give our program more high profile simply by clicking the link. It all works in the background, but we thank you for supporting us through the means of these ventures. So thank you very much for continuing to follow us. And again, if you want to watch us on YouTube, if you want to check out the show after with a live replay, you can go to ditcow.com and get the particulars. Good to have you with us here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio and blog and YouTube.com. It's nuts to do this by myself again, but we'll be at it for another 15 minutes. So if you want to give us a call, call us 424-258-9251. Looking forward to chatting with most of you tonight. I don't know, you know, All-Star Game. Coming up, I think in a twist, I really don't have much to say about it, but I do think that it is fantastic that Cincinnati's finally getting it again. It's been too long. I really think so. Great American Ballpark, it's been around for over 10 years now. That's, the time is way overdue. They are way overdue for an All-Star Game. That's the birthplace of Major League Baseball. The first team was the Cincinnati Reds. They used to do opening day in Cincinnati and nowhere else. That was the first game. So I felt like putting the All-Star Game there is a natural. Other than that, I don't have much to say. I'm disappointed, however, that we are not going to get... Let's see, who was it? I believe it was Bryce Harper. Yeah, that sucks. I mean, he is the best home run hitter, pure home run hitter in the game. Nobody hits the ball farther than he does, except maybe Giancarlo Stanton. And he's not in there. And it's just like, well, that sucks. Like, why can't he be in there? He probably doesn't want to get hurt, but I mean, you know, get in there for a round. I mean, it wouldn't kill you. That would be nice. So that was a downer for me. So the home run derby is kind of boring and all dragged out anyway. But it's What is this? I am not. What the heck is this? Prefer not to answer. I got a survey in front of this article I'm reading on at USA or at Cincinnati.com. So, shoot, Giancarlo Stanton's not in it either. So Stanton's out because he's hurt. Harper's out. Nelson Cruz is out. Chris Bryant hasn't been asked yet. Wow. And Anthony Rizzo, who's really a great hitter for the Cubs, has not been asked yet. Jock Peterson is a rookie. I don't know exactly how you'd approach that, but he has 20 home runs. I'd say just go for it. Guys, ask these guys to play. JD Martinez is good too. Get these guys on the All-Star in the Derby. I mean, if you can't get the two big guns, get these other guns. They're pretty good. Get them in there. What the heck? And obviously, to break down an MLB All-Star game is kind of pointless. It's just like, well, the AL's got all the best guys, and the NL's got all the best guys, and they're going to play each other. And for whatever reason, they're going to decide the home field of the World Series based on the outcome. It's like, really? But it's generally good to see the best players all at the same time. What I'm curious about is the over-under of this game. Because every year, it's completely unpredictable. Like, so you think that, well, it might be a tight game because of all the pitchers. It might be a really high-scoring game because of all the hitters. That's the best of the best on both sides, in both parts of the game. But the score is not that predictable. So, if we look at it right now, and go to VegasInsider.com, we can get the over-under for this year's All-Star game to take place in Cincinnati next week. Let's take a look. If we go to the odds makers at VegasInsider.com, and we look at baseball's odds, and we look at the home run derby is going to be interesting too, but let's first look at the All-Star game and see where we're at. Because that over-under is going to interest me. Let's take a look. All right. There we go. Okay, here we go. So, the over-under, looking at it, it appears that the over-under for the game is 8 runs. 8 runs. Now, to give you an idea what we're up against, let's look at the results of the previous few years in the home run derby. I'm sorry, the All-Star game. Last year, the MLB All-Star game, I think the AL won the last one. Let's see. And they did. They won 5-3. That's exactly 8 runs. Before that, it was 3-0. The American League winning. The year in 2012, the National League won 8-0. That's exactly 8. And the year before that, the National League won 5-1. That's a total of 6 runs. The year before that, it was 4. So it's all over the place. It's like it went under more times than it went over. But there were plenty of high scoring games anyway. Like you had 2007, it was 9 runs. 2008, you had 7. 2009, you had 7. Then you had 4, 6, 8, 3, and then 8 again. So it didn't go over 8 more than once in that time period from 2007 to now. Theoretically, the under would be the play for 2 reasons. Because one, the game was already high scoring last year. You'd think theoretically, not even theoretically, just by guessing, you're like, okay, well, it was low scoring, high scoring, it's alternating, I think it'll be low. But I think this is going to be a high scoring game. Great American Ballpark is quite a launching pad for home runs, so I really think the ball carries. It's pretty warm right now in Cincinnati. I think you're going to have a high scoring game. We'll see if it'll be a good game, but it'll be a high scoring game for sure. And I can't really give the edge to either team at this point. It's a little too random. All right. Worked our way to it. 424-258-9251. We'll continue on here in the program. It's good to have you with us tonight. We will not be doing a show next week. I'm going to be on vacation at long last. I don't know where I'm going this week yet, except at the end. I'll be in the Bay Area at the very end of the trip for the weekend, 17th, 18th, and 19th. I'll be in Santa Clara and San Francisco. Be fun. I'll tell you what I did after the fact. But it'll be good times. You watch a video game convention. Other than that, I won't really say what I'm up to. I think what I don't know yet is what I'm going to do the other days. And I've been talking with my buddies. I'm like, do I go up the coast and try to work my way to Oregon? Because I've always wanted to go to Oregon. It's really gorgeous over there. Beautiful. And it's cool, and there's a lot of rain. I think that's really good. And I always wondered that. Like, do I go to Oregon, enjoy the greenery, check out the ocean, check out the water? It'd just be great. I mean, just so many trees, be really great. Do I do that, or do I do the sure thing and go to Vegas and enjoy all the fervor of the All-Star game and put down 50? Well, I don't know, I'm not gonna say how much, but I'm gonna put down a sum of money on that over. And see if it hits. And yeah, like you know, you'd think, well, But it seems like everything's pointing to an under. That's why I'm going to do it, because I'm thinking, well, everyone expects the under. Let's probably go with the over. Let's see how it goes. But now, as far as, let's see which one's favored, though. I can't say. Oh, no, the under is a favorite. Okay, under 8. So the under is a favorite by a decent amount. It's like 108. All right. Let me check another source just to make sure. All right, we're checking on that under. See what the odds are for the under and the over in the MLB All-Star Game. Okay, All-Star Game line. Here it is. Well, in a different source, we get an over-under of 7.5. And that's down the middle. There is no... Neither one is really favored over the other one, so... Okay, so 7.5, he has it right on. 7.5, I know I would pick that to be an over, but I think maybe more people would think under because, well, you know, if the pattern suggests that it will be under that amount, it'll be like 5-0 or something. I like the over, though, so we'll see. It'll be fun. And I really do hope that baseball does the right thing in two respects. And again, there will be no Dave in the City show next week. No show. So we invite you to check out our archives at www.didcow.com. We have all the shows, every single show. We used to not have this, but now we do. We have every single show from the beginning in 2009, early or late 2008, but basically 2009 through mid 2011, ready for download at didcow.com. So you really want to check that out. You get the beginnings. You get to see the start of Random Questions. You get to see our first few years of doing Super Bowl week. You get that memorable exchange that Andrew and I had about the Saints-Colts Super Bowl. That was really funny. It's quite a time. It's quite a time. So we hope that you can enjoy that. You get our first live show. We had Umar and Jacob Rosales on for that. We had when the Giants made the World Series, and we had Jacob and Black Hat with Relish celebrating over that, too. We had our first of our Yankee reports, which we only did for a year, but it was interesting anyway. So, a lot of history on the DidCow show. We certainly have great moments. I think the TJ Ford moment hasn't quite made it yet. We will upload that eventually. But the TJ Ford moment, you're wondering what that is. Okay, well, let me give it to you. So... Years and years ago, the Chicago Bulls were in the playoffs, and they were playing the Indiana Pacers. And we were doing a spot. I was with Umar in Rockland. I was with It's the Bread, a.k.a. John in Brooklyn. And we were watching the game together. And let's see if I got it here. Yeah, I do have it. This is great. I think this is it. And the three of us were watching the game, and it looked like the Bulls were starting to melt down at the point that TJ Ford hit that deep check to cut the lead at the buzzer at the end of the third quarter for the Indiana Pacers. So Umar, John in Brooklyn, and me watching the Bulls playoff game against the Pacers at the end of the third quarter. Hilarity ensues.
The Bulls' inexperience is going to be one of the big storylines for the team.
Oh my God.
What a shot by...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I want to apologize in advance to the thousands in attendance. I'm about to lose it. Oh, my God.
Holy smoke. TJ Ford with a prayer.
Deep check. I didn't even know he was on a Pacer.
Oh my God.
You know, it's.
That cost him 2 runs, that ball!
Oh, it's great to hear the mic audio back in the fold. What a shot, though.
Oh. I'm going to shoot myself. Where's the suicide smiley when you need it? Jeez. That is a microcosm of the first two games. Oh, God. Screw this team.
I'm tired of you, man. I'm tired of you.
Well, that was great times by our friend Umer. And, well, friends, that's our show tonight. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. It was a good time. It was a good time amidst the circumstances. And thank you very much for your continued support. We promise to do a better job next time around. I will be on vacation. Enjoy your time away from me. But we'll be back in 2 weeks. So until then, we'll see you next time.